You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about Chapter 7 from the book 90 Day Soulmate. Chapter 7 is Science of the Mind. It's coming from this book. Hey, look, you can see the big version on the wall here. That's the easy reading version if you need one that size. It has really, really large letters. I think there's like 48 fonts.
You don't need glasses to read that.
No, you can actually read it across the room. You have your partner or somebody that you're identifying as a partner hold the book up across the room and you can read it from there.
So romantic.
It's how you find your soulmate. Hey, would you hold this book for me while I read it? It could work.
No, you can use in the bus, in the train, so people say, you're looking for soulmate.
That's it. You just carry it with you, and it's also a protective device, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can get that between you and other people. Let's see what we're doing today. We are talking about science of the mind. What is it? Chapter 7 from the book.
This is real mouse.
There we go. That's interesting. The mouse isn't registering for whatever reason, but it still is working, so that's good. Today's show, we're going to start talking about Freud and Skinner, their theories of behavior, on behavior, what causes behavior, induces behavior in humans, and how that is programmed into us. Eric, who's Eric?
Eric Estrada?
No, it's not. And his relationship challenges. When the chips are down, what do you do? And then lastly, we'll actually get into Chapter 7, Science of the Mind, which is where Eric is introduced. We do have a little bit of Eric in here. We do talk about a process, which we're going to introduce today as well, called the VBFA, which stands for Visualization, Belief, Feelings, and Action. So it's how to take something that you want to do and convert it from something you want to do into actual achievable action that can create a different outcome than what you currently are achieving. So let's go into Freud. So Freud's behavioral theory on personality, on behavior, what causes people to act in certain ways, is that the behavior is driven by the unconscious desires and memories. The id, ego, and superego are constructs that he has created, three things that are used to define different categories of the brain and how they interact. And therefore, these manage the unconscious aspects of our behavior. Personality development is affected by childhood experiences. And on the screen there is a little diagram. The diagram shows the environment is out there. The environment is what we deal with. We consciously, as quote, our ego, the ego has to navigate between the environment, the id, which are the deep unconscious desires, kind of like the animal instinct type desires, and then the super ego, which are potentially some deep-seated subconscious beliefs, values, patterns, and programs that are in our brain, and they will boil up into action based upon, well, what Freud said, things we learned in our childhood.
Yeah.
Things that are very interesting from our childhood, I think. And a lot of it is unthinking, right? It's why do we have certain behaviors? And something interesting, which I didn't put into this presentation, is that the brain will think it's made a decision, meaning our mind, you know, we will consciously think we've made a decision to do something. But what we found is psychologists have found when they've done tests on the brain, that the brain has already decided on doing an action or a behavior before the mind recognizes and says, oh, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. That we're actually just realizing and recognizing what our brain's already decided based upon these series of patterns and programs.
It's more fast than your reaction. It's more fast than your body.
More fast in creating the action than we are able to comprehend the thought of we're making the decision about it. So we're going, oh, I'm going to go this way, but our brain already decided 3 seconds ago that we're going to go this way based upon all that input. And going back to that, as you look at the unconscious and the subconscious, the unconscious being those, we can call them dark and bright desires. So those drives that we're inborn with, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of what we consider the id. And then the superego being those patterns and programs that we think are our values and beliefs, meaning that the superego really is a almost like a guard to our behavior. It's saying, this is what you do, this is what you do. But it doesn't say that. It's just that we kind of feel that's what we should do. And then our ego, we're consciously going, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? But all this stuff is feeding up into us as we are supposedly making decisions. Decisions that have already been decided for us, possibly, if you're of that belief, that we've already... And again, the testing in psychology is showing that the brain's already moved us towards a decision when we actually realize we're making a decision. Yeah, it's done. It's over. You don't even have to think anymore. Just do, because whatever you've decided has already been decided.
How can be the instinct that people talk about? Do you think it's part of this?
The instinct? Uh-huh. Well, I think part of it's instinctual, but I think it is that we also are feeding ourselves constantly with information. Mm-hmm. And that information becomes new patterns and programs in us. So yes, there is the instinctual piece, but as we grow from a tiny little baby, and this is where we get into the Skinner end of things, his operant theory of behavior, is that we learn stuff. And let's pop into Skinner, and then we can go back and forth a little bit here. So Skinner's behavioral theory was based upon the environment, stimulus, and our responses. That operant conditioning our behavior would change through reinforcement and punishment, or reward and punishment. It rejects the concept of free will, emphasizing environmental determinants. So Freud says we have the ego, which has to navigate and make decisions, but it's based upon patterns and programs and the id. Skinner saying that all of our behavior is based upon past experience and the reward or the punishment that we got for that behavior from the time we were a little tiny baby. And so one is saying whatever your environment is, that's what you become. Your behavior is based upon your environment. And Freud says it's much more complicated than that. So which is correct?
Both?
Neither? It is, again, psychology tries to describe things and tries to categorize things to make it understandable in a way that we can discuss it. So they're both correct in being able to provide us insights into our behavior. What does this mean for chapter 7? Well, we want to get into how we change our behavior and what are the ways that we've been programmed to have behavior. Again, based upon the id and the superego playing a role based upon Freud's theory, and then the ego making, quote, decisions about that and navigating in the environment, or Skinner. Skinner with he's no longer around, but Skinner with the theory that it's all been pre-programmed through rewards and punishments we received as a child up to whatever age we are. So if we do something today and get a reward or punishment for that, it will then induce our future behavior as well.
Yeah.
So we want to use these things, and can we use these things and the knowledge of it to change our own destiny, direction, where we're going? So again, Freud versus Skinner. I don't think they actually stood next to each other in a library. In fact, Freud was only in black and white and Skinner was in the age of color.
Because he's more young.
Because he's much younger. So
and better beard.
A nicer beard, sure, yeah. not as full as. And these are just, of course, artistic renditions of people who are to represent Freud and Skinner, but these are not the actual Freud and Skinner. And again, Skinner operant conditioning, that it was all programmed based upon the environment that we're in, and there's nothing came from us, but it's all external, all environment. And Freud saying part of it's internal, that we were born with some innate desires and drives, that we have stuff that's been programmed, and the superego may have some overreaching authority based upon values and what has been successful to society. So maybe we have some programs that we've been given just because we're part of society, right? The survival of the fittest.
Yeah, so when you see cases like the twin, they grew up in the same environment, the same DNA, but have a different behavior, or grow separate and similar. So
right. It's
so much a study about behavior.
So there's, you know, what makes two things grow differently?
Mm-hmm. And the same environment, right. The same
two DNA. Corn seeds, and you plant them side by side, and one grows into a big corn stalk, and the other one kind of whittles away, you know, mm-hmm. or withers away. Why? Right, so the twin studies give us is it environment, is it what's inborn, are there other things, do we have
factors, right? Factors.
And there are so many processes go inside our mind that our brain is constantly developing and changing. What could affect our brain besides these things? Oh, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
How about sleep, diet, and illness? For instance, sleep deprivation reduces neuron activity and spatial memory. That affects decision-making abilities. It can lead to increased dopamine and decreased cortisol response, altering mood and motivation. Severe sleep loss can cause mental disorientation and reduced cognitive performance. So if we're trying to change our behavior in a positive way, when we have lack of sleep in our life, it makes it more difficult, because what it does is it makes us make poor decisions. Then those poor decisions we get feedback on, and maybe we think in this altered state because we're tired that this poor decision led to something that I actually think is good, and we start training our brain to operate on this lack of sleep, and we can be heading down the path of just reprogramming ourselves to bad behavior based upon not being able to be mentally astute, aware enough to do what's right for us.
No, so it's important to figure out that you can have long hours, 72 hours no eating, and you're okay, but you cannot stay 72 hours no sleep.
Without sleeping.
Yeah, so the sleep is more important than food.
So it's
and your body.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why you haven't been feeding me for the last 2 days. I got it.
Yeah. You sleep a lot.
I sleep a lot. So again, sleep is really important to our daily function, as well as trying to come up with a way to improve ourselves. Continuing on, diet. Diet is very important. High fat intake can induce inflammatory responses in the hypothalamus, affecting hormone regulation and energy balance. Poor diet can lead to obesity and brain inflammation, impacting decision-making and emotional regulation. I have a fat brain. Maybe that's the thought of that.
You make a good decision now.
Well, if you eat well, dietary choices significantly affect brain health and can either improve or impair cognitive function. I've been around people that don't sleep well, they don't eat well, and then they're trying to get treated for depression or an anxiety or stress. And it's like, I don't know, I'm not saying this will cure people, but if you want to analyze yourself in some psychological aspect, at least give yourself the benefit of having good sleep and good diet.
Yeah.
Because then you take those off. I know, I've told you this before, I don't sleep a lot. But the days I do sleep 7, 8, 10 hours, I actually feel, it's a weird thing, I feel this like happy thing, which I don't always have. It's not that I'm not happy when I don't sleep Mm-hmm. That many. If so I sleep five or six.
Your energy is different. Your energy is different.
It's different. And then mm-hmm. your cognitive abilities change too. Mm-hmm. Your ability to do a crossword puzzle, your ability to solve something changes mm-hmm. if your brain has been able to declutter overnight, re-energize, yeah, and no, think so better.
Remember the book that we helped to read about the our friend, you know, about psychology. How you health your life by, and one chapter is specific for food.
Yes.
So it's amazing that the person went to different doctor because she feel depression, and the doctor say the food that you're eating is wrong because you're eating a lot of bad food, and food also creates some kind of the unbalanced chemical in the
right,
body.
Right, the imbalance, sure.
So she changed completely this, and she started to feel better without any medication in this moment, you know. So it's interesting in this chapter how the chemical balance, chemical imbalance, make a depression.
I would completely agree with that. You think about it, is that there might be foods that you're allergic to that make mm-hmm. you feel bad, and then mm-hmm. you feel bad during the day. And this will be one more that I wanted to bring up, which was illness, is that not taking care of yourself from a diet and from a sleep standpoint can put you into illness, which can also affect you. Viral infections and other illnesses can alter your hypothalamic function, leading to your changes in appetite, changes in weight. It can be the spiral thing. Right, so illnesses can disrupt you cognitively. They can impact reasoning. They can mm-hmm. impact mental control. What else? Chronic conditions and brain injuries can lead to long-term changes in brain structure and decision-making abilities. Since our brain is continuously and continually developing mm-hmm. neuroplasticity, if we are going through brain growth through illness, through diet, poor diet, and through lack of sleep, mm-hmm. our brain will grow in a way that supports all that, which is poor. We don't want that.
Yep.
So when we come back, we'll talk more about Chapter 7, Science of the Mind, on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about Chapter 7, Science of the Mind, in the book 90 Day Soulmate. We were talking a little bit about Skinner and Freud and their theory of behavior, as well as how diet, food, right?
Sleep.
Food, diet, sleep, mm-hmm. and illness can mm-hmm. affect the brain, thought processes. And when you constantly are making decisions in that environment, you're going to be programming yourself, changing your brain in a way that affects your life and your ability. And as mm-hmm. you said, the diet can be a big thing, especially diets that are poor versus diets that are good. So health is very important. We wanted to talk about Eric. Eric, who is in the book, Eric has some marriage issues. His marriage issues that are presented in Chapter 7 are he faced potential second divorce due to unresolved childhood issues and communication problems. He had a lack of father figure, and he had an uncommunicative relationship with his mother. And these things influenced his adult relationships. The repetitive patterns from these past traumas affected interactions with his partner, leading to a poor relationship. But he didn't know this. He just had a poor relationship, but it was based upon this. So let's continue on with that. His behavioral patterns were shaped by the childhood experiences, the lack of emotional expression with his parents, or actually, especially with his mom, because the father was not really in their life, his life. He recognized his reactionary patterns were linked to deep-seated unconscious programming through conversations with us. He decided to confront and change his life's programming by understanding and forgiving his parents. Mm-hmm. So that was one aspect, right? So it's not only forgive. There's something that, and I was going to get into this in here, but I didn't bring it in, is that we've done a lot of research into NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. One thing's called timeline therapy, where you actually go back in time, kind of like Eric would have done, go back to the problems of the past, and you can address them, understand why you were acting a certain way. But in this timeline therapy or time frame therapy under NLP, what you're actually doing is you're taking episodes of your past and you're thinking about them differently, trying to recreate the memory, but kind of like erasing the memory that there was, and envisioning that memory in a different way. What you're doing is you're trying to access that portion of your brain and the time frame. You want to be back in time, you want to be in the situation, and you want to kind of make that memory a little fuzzy, add nuances to it, and change it. So when the memory is changed, then it breaks all the patterns that were linked to that memory.
Okay.
So I don't want to say this, but I'm going to anyway. There's some pieces of this in Scientology, which when you read the old books on it, which was L. Ron Hubbard's book, which was called Dianetics, there were some interesting aspects of psychological truths in it that were, I think, taken to extremes in the way it ended up. I'm going to leave it alone, other than the fact that psychology, thoughts, reprogramming, and how to do this through NLP, through cognitive behavioral therapy, through all these things, there are lots of truths that do work, even if they were taken and warped into something that they weren't meant to be later. Mm-hmm. So don't throw out, what they say, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. That it may be dirty water, but there might be an essence of truth within that mess. So he, in forgiving his parents, was able to better communicate with his wife. In fact, he forgave them. He embraced love as a fundamental tool for personal growth, meaning that the lack of love as a child he realized he needed now in his life. So he focused on that as being something to have currently in his relationship, look for love opportunities with his wife, and make sure that that was part of his everyday daily routine. He implemented daily practices of love and self-monitoring to transform negative emotions, and through dedication and the VBFA process, Eric improved his marriage and personal business, sustaining a 20-year marriage. And of course, that was at the time the book was written, which we're now up to 32 years, which... Yeah. Not everyone's successful. Not everyone's not successful. People have to work on things in order to change.
Yeah.
So what we're suggesting is that by looking at patterns and programs, finding where you want to change and how to change, by taking daily steps and moving towards that goal, you at least have the opportunity for something to change. We're not telling it, not telling everyone that it's, oh, it's absolutely going to happen, which we're going to talk about that other thing in a little bit.
Yeah.
But the VBFA, what is the VBFA? Let's introduce it. You want to introduce it?
Sure.
So the VBFA, which is a concept of visualizing, believing, feeling, and then taking action towards a goal that you have in mind or a new pattern or program. The importance of reprogramming for personal growth is this is where you start to take decisions in your behavior. It can help replace old unwanted patterns with new positive ones. The reason we talk about the VBFA and the reason we talked about Skinner and Freud at the beginning, their theories of personality, is both talk about what decisions you make, the impact, the patterns and programs you have, one being environmental, the other being internal. But now that you know that you can make a change, you can actually change the environment that you're in. You can change what you're putting into your subconscious. You can utilize the theory of Freud or the theory of Skinner and say, okay, I don't care which one's correct. Mm-hmm. If I do this, if I visualize, if I believe, if I feel emotionally connected to what I want to achieve and I take action, I can change my patterns and get a different result.
Yeah, definitely. I believe that.
You believe that?
Yeah, and take action.
So here is the beautiful little visualization of the VBFA program. We call it reprogramming, and it's also you are doing this. We talk about in past programs coding, right? That once you know what your behavior is and your patterns, you can recode yourself, like, quote, change your own program. Again, visualizing, believing, feeling, and action. You want to talk about visualization?
Yeah.
A little bit? Let's talk about visualization a little bit. How is visualizing the key technique for achieving goals? The importance of using all senses in visualization, which we'll talk about in a moment, share how visual representations can strengthen beliefs and feelings. So we talked about a vision board.
Mm-hmm. That is one methodology.
And being able to see something. But the point of this prior slide was the connection you have with it, the emotion you have with it. Mm-hmm. And so part of that, we start off with visualize, that you visualize what you want, but the belief that you can achieve it and the feelings of if I achieve this or as I'm achieving it, what do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
These things all strengthen each other, right? So it's much stronger. Now, we're not saying you're going to absolutely achieve what you're visualizing, but if you don't do any of it, that's probably pretty well put that you're not, right?
Yeah, less possible.
So we want to make it maybe something that's possible to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll summarize that in a little bit. Next, once you have that visualization, the most important thing, and we talk about this, part of this is in your subconscious from the standpoint of Freud, is that if you can change your beliefs, that when you believe in your own abilities and your capacity for co-creation, right, that you can do this, that the belief is intertwined with that feeling. And also, once you have that feeling and that belief and that visualization, it's much easier for you to program yourself to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go, oh, if I take action, I'm going to move towards my result. I can move towards what I'm trying to accomplish. Strong belief will help you overcome challenges in reaching goals. I was talking to our daughter,
mm-hmm.
Jessica, about this. I said, I might be a little bit positive, or I might believe that I can solve something.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I feel positive or that I can solve something is maybe I have the belief that I can, but what it allows me to do is actually try to solve it. Some people go, that's just too difficult. I'm not going to try it. Or, wow, I've never attempted that before. Well, now with Google, with people that you can call on your phone, you can find answers to something to solve yourself. So like if you have a problem with your car, problem with the toilet, I need to do something that I figure out I can do it,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's the belief.
And the attitude, the belief and attitude, because some people believe but are not do nothing.
Belief, right.
Yeah.
They believe they can do it, but they don't. They're like, you know what? I know I can do that, but I'm just going to not.
I don't want to.
All right. So maybe they're not eating the right food. They need a little bit more energy. So the feeling piece of this is that once you have belief, it helps move you towards having a good feeling about it. I feel that I can do this. I feel that if I do this, how excited I'm going to be while I'm trying it. That it doesn't have to actually be a feeling of once I accomplish it. It can be the feeling of the road and path to accomplishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The impact of emotions on attracting positive changes. Number one, emotions are one of the best ways of learning something and of helping trigger neuroplasticity. That when you're emotionally connected to whatever you're doing, you learn it faster. Whether that's playing guitar, whether it's studying something, whether it's when you're if you're emotionally connected with wanting to be with your partner,
mm-hmm.
you work at it harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I did.
Ah. So it is, the emotions are so important in attracting the positive change.
Yeah.
Finally, is that we've gone all through that, right? Again, visualizing, believing you can do it, having that emotional connection to, and now taking action. That the ideas and goals require actions to be realized. If you don't take action, you'll never get to that. It's like, I remember people saying, knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. And knowledge is not power, because knowledge in the absence of action is useless.
Yeah, definitely.
But action in the absence of knowledge may just be doing the wrong thing, but it's, maybe you'll learn. It's dangerous.
It's dangerous too.
Could be dangerous. Let me just stick my finger there.
Yeah, I know that too.
So. Don't do that.
No.
But the point is that there's a balance of knowledge and action.
Yeah.
You know, that knowledge through action is power. And when I'm an electrical engineer, which talk about once in a while, that power in energy is not only voltage, but it's going through a circuit. It's the current. It's as the voltage travels through the circuit and does work. That you can only do work when you take knowledge and put it through action, and then you get work out of it. It might be you learn something new, you achieve something new, you meet somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the action. If you want action, take action.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Changing mindsets and taking action can lead to significant life changes. Again, if you want something different, you have to do something different. When we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim,
we'll talk more about the VBFA formula and summarize the concept and set you on your path of taking action.
In 90 Day Soulmate.
In 90 Day.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about Chapter 7 in the book called 90 Days Soulmate. That's the story of love and light reflections from the above stuff. But Chapter 7 in here is called Time. It's not called Time for Change. That was last week. It's called Science of the Mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, which mine's going because I'm hungry. That's what's going.
I know.
So if you don't eat, your diet can affect your brain and the way you think. And here we go, right?
Based upon that, you sleep good, but you're not.
I slept good. Yeah. Didn't eat well. Slept well. I'm ready to work out after this show and then get some good food. So in any case, the science of the mind, we discuss how your brain can change your behaviors and patterns. We were discussing the VBFA formula for reprogramming. Visualizing, believing, which starts getting you emotionally feeling that you can achieve, and while you're achieving gives you good vibes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want good vibes. And take action. That the more emotional, you know, what does emotion mean anyway? Emote, right? To move us to motion.
Mm-hmm.
So emotion, the feeling, helps move us towards that action.
Yeah.
And so keeps us going.
Emotion, I say, is so powerful versus knowledge. So most the decision a human being take up by emotion versus by knowledge. So.
Which can be a good or bad thing,
mm-hmm,
right? It's
exactly.
Like, oh, I'm going to do this emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a step back and go, let me think about it and try to keep that same emotion and now do action through emotion with knowledge,
that's
different. And the belief is that sometimes emotion can just have us move and do something, and we don't even think about believing about it, and we don't even think about knowing anything about it, and we just start moving. Whereas if we really focus on what we want, We focus on believing we can achieve it. Focus on the emotion, the emotional content, the how we're going to feel when we achieve or as we're achieving. Mm-hmm. It really takes us to that action piece. So dive deeper into visualization. What are some visualization techniques, Lizette? What do you think is a good example of successful visualization?
I guess that the first you need to maybe figure out well what you want, because that is also the part of a visualization when you maybe recreate that, like the board, okay. Or maybe you do meditation and you visualize what you want. So the your brain come and you focus in this object or objective that you want to achieve.
Okay.
That is the first part.
So how about the more clarity we can have in the visualization? So a good thing about visualization, say you are going, oh, I want a partner. Well, part of that is determining what does that mean? So I'm looking for somebody between the ages of 30 and 60. I'm looking for somebody between 4'8" and 5'7".
The point is becoming clear, right? Some people say, yes, I want, but not now. But yes, I like to have, but I'm not ready yet. So if the mind do like that, you focus is lose power.
I want to have a partner, but I don't want to do the exercise.
Yeah,
right?
I don't want to read a book. I don't have time for partner.
I'm just going to sleep on the book.
Yeah, so that is lucky. So my friend have a husband is perfect. She's a lucky person.
Lucky, very lucky.
Yeah.
You're lucky. Aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Very
sure.
Lucky. And going back to Lizette's visualization, and she talks about it in the book in that chapter as well, is that she was really clear in what she was looking for. That her visualization board that she had years before had specific pictures, specific locations, right? To specific, like how where you wanted to live, what the house would look like.
Yeah.
That the more specific you can get, the more it can become real to you. Also, the more you're focusing on the specifics, the more you're programming your mind into what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
That if you just say, oh, I want to have my own house, well, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately or fortunately, I sometimes become obsessive when I start to do something. If I'm looking for a guitar, for a car, if we're writing a book, if we're doing a show, that I will go and I'll just go into it and I'll overdo it. I'll research. If I'm doing a project at work and we're looking to do air conditioning, I'll look for the energy required to evaporate water. I'll look for all the details and I'll do it almost obsessively. But by doing that, you get very finite in the detail of what you're visualizing, which makes this coming to fruition, coming to reality, much more likely. That if you don't go overboard in an activity, I use the word overboard, let's just say enough. If you don't do enough activity towards your visualization, it's just half-hearted.
Yeah.
So we want to put that detail into it. The believing piece, I like this picture, by the way. The believing helps guide the growth of your visualization and your action towards something. That it basically gives that light for the plant to grow towards. So your belief is, I believe I can achieve this, and it helps grow your ideas and thoughts towards your objective. Also, if you don't believe you can do it, you have less of a chance of taking action. You believe you can do it, you take action.
Yeah.
Is that true? So what's the way to, how do you strengthen your belief?
Remember the example that we talked this morning when the belief sometimes can be faith.
And then
you believe something, your action go to your belief.
Ah.
Okay, because if you do action that is not aligned, you really don't believe. So
the story
about it is a town in the farm area when there's half a 3 months no rain and the old plant start to die. And the priest say, come to this Sunday, we want to pray for rain. It's something that is a belief, okay?
Right.
And then in the middle of the day, they say, he asked to the people, you believe and you have faith for the rain? And everybody
says,
yes. So please raise your hand who have umbrella. and nobody bring the umbrella to the church. So
bring your umbrella. Be ready for what you're planning to come to fruition.
Yeah. So if you believe in your soulmate, I practice. I say something like that. I joke it with my friends. Say, I want to do that before I find my soulmate because maybe I have to move because I believe and they find my soulmate.
So taking action helps build your faith and your belief as well. Mm-hmm. So you can have a small belief and you can do a little action towards it.
Yeah.
And by doing that little action, you get a little closer to what you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. And it may strengthen your belief that you can do it. These small steps help grow. Your visualization helps your belief. Your belief helps your emotion. Your emotion helps your action. And by doing these little steps, it builds on top of each other until it's almost like this avalanche of achievement.
There you go.
Right? There we go. That's it. No, that's not it. That's not the end of the show. What else do we have here? We want to discuss how to increase and cultivate the possibility of harnessing powerful positive emotions. How do we align our feelings with goals? And I think part of it is we were just talking about is we want to align our everyday small movement towards a goal. We want to positively reinforce it. We want to talk about positive emotions. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about I am achieving. What do they talk that, you know, self-talk, when you talk about I am achieving.
Yeah, and I'm doing the stuff, and this is increase your own belief because you're doing in the congruence way. When you know are congruent and then you fight it yourself, you start to be doubt and you lose the visualization also.
So you've heard about people, they'll talk about if you are trying to achieve something, you want to have people around you who are like-minded. You want to move away from negative-minded people. You want to be in an element that's conducive for your achievement. They say that you are like your five closest friends. And if you want to achieve something, your five closest friends should also have your back. They should be supporting you. They should be in the same situation. If your five closest friends are saying, you'll never do it, oh, sure, I'm going to fight back and I'm going to say I'm going to do it because they're negative. I'm going to fight against what they're saying. That's much more difficult than they encourage you and push you to achieve. You want to work out and build your body up. You want to get friends who go to the gym with you. You don't want friends who say, hey, come to the restaurant and eat. Don't worry about the gym, right? So increasing people around you who have positive motions or positive help you in your positive motion towards what you're trying to achieve. Detailed action. Specific examples that can help your actions align with the VBFA process offer strategic for maintaining momentum. How do you obtain momentum? Like momentum is you need to recognize your small achievements. Mm-hmm. You need to reward yourself. We talked about Skinner. If your actions are based upon the reward or consequences or punishment, that when you move slightly towards your success, like we talk about, it's like, hey, congratulations, we did this. Let's have dinner tonight. We're going to celebrate. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of celebrations, even if they're just small celebrations. We celebrate very small things because we like moving towards a positive direction. So by giving yourself a reward, this is where Skinner and Freud come together, is that by giving yourself your own reward, it's not the environment that's giving you feedback, it's you giving yourself feedback. And you can create then future action based upon your own reward. And it also programs your subconscious that says, hey, I did this and it was good. Let me do it again.
And also the theory of the postpone the reward so you value more your reward, no instantaneous reward. That's this other theory.
Knowing that, we were talking about that as well, is that if we want to not do something right now, and we know that a year from now we're going to go on a trip, but we have to save money to go to that trip, what we can do is each month make some decision about, okay, where we're going to be on that trip, where are we going to stay, what are the things we're going to do? And we constantly feed our brain with a little bit of, when we are there, what will that achievement look like? Mm-hmm. And therefore, you're not like saying, I'm waiting for this thing to happen a year from now. It's you're experiencing it. I can go on YouTube, like we're going to potentially go to Dublin, Ireland. And so I can go to YouTube and I can walk around Dublin, right? I can go on my treadmill and walk around Dublin. I can see what it will be like to be there.
Oh, yes. It's dirty when sometimes people ask me, because I travel a lot, so say, how you be in Italy? That is expensive. I cannot do that. Mm. And I say, is more cheap the ticket they go to San Francisco.
Right.
And then the food is more low price. Is sometimes we believe that something is impossible when you see it's afar versus take a number, review the auction, find the right price and the long term. So if you prepare early stuff, you can achieve.
I know people who come into work every day with a frappuccino from Starbucks.
It's $20 drink.
$17 drink or whatever it is. It's $5, $6, $7. And you go, okay, let me take $7 times 365. Okay, I'm only working 200 days a week, but $7 times 200, that's $1,400. So maybe make coffee at home, and for $1,400 you can go to wherever you want.
Yeah.
And it's called sacrifice, or it's called investment, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Is it a sacrifice to go towards your dream, go towards what you want to achieve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on the people like dream better, the travels are that's
sure.
That's
just
okay
dream. I just like dreaming.
Yeah.
Here's a question you asked me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you create a miracle? I want to just stay there and we'll go back to the rest of this. But can you create a miracle? Well, what is a miracle? I guess we first have to define what a miracle is. And sometimes it's an unexplained event that you can only explain by divine intervention. Like, it just happened. Like somebody is cured of something or you can have your own definition of miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can't, quote, create the miracle, because we're not God, right? We can't create the miracle, but something we can do is create the environment, create a miracle environment where the improbable becomes possible. And this is what we're trying to do, is that we can't say just because you visualize living in a mansion or going on vacation, or finding a soulmate, just because you visualize that's going to happen. But if you create the environment that allows this miracle to show up, that's what we can do. It makes this improbability of, if you do nothing, it's improbable, right? It's not going to happen if you do nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you do something, it, again, allows the environment to make the improbable become possible. And that's what we are talking about, is that if we have enough visualization and we work on enough things, some of them will show up in our lives.
Right? And also it can be your soulmate, can be your perfect job, can be a house. I remember right now my friend in Oklahoma, the person invited me for be the speaker. And the church, she say, I read this book, and I say, when I use that for buying my house, because she believes it's difficult. And she used all technique, and she say, I have my house using this technique. So it's part of the how you can achieve.
So what you're saying is that you can use these techniques for more than just finding a soulmate?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You can. This is an overall technique to use to achieve, to find something in your life that you're looking to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that we're like going, oh, I want this, I want that. It's these things could be that I want to be able to help orphans. I want to be able to help them better. How do we do that? Well, we have a charity where we help orphans in Venezuela. This is something we want to achieve. How do we do that? We want to create a website. We want to create a 501c3 organization. Mm-hmm. We want to help gain donations, and then we want to send shoes and food and clothing and help the children. And then we want to talk and correspond. And then when they grow up and they travel to other parts of the world, we want to stay in touch.
Yeah.
This is a vision of something that's, is it for us? Sure, we want to help, but it's actually for the benefit of others.
Yes, and the perfect program that people can see, and also you can put the ayuda ven, but it's when you feel that you put something for the society back, because we feel that we are, everybody's connecting, yeah.
We believe so. And to leave this show today is make sure you create a miracle environment where the improbable becomes possible through your vision, your belief, your feelings and attitudes, and your action. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate. Have a great week.
Bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.